Amen. If you would, join me in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all those who've come out to worship you. Some, Lord, will be watching online. We thank you for those as well. Speak to us now, not only in the fellowship and the love that we feel in this room, but the message of these songs, may they sink deep in our hearts. May the message from the pulpit also speak to our hearts today, and may we go from this place change to be more like you. We thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Good to see you here. Charles, can you mind coming up here for just a minute? Yeah, you, Charles. Brother, you know your fellow pastors up here love you, and we support one another. I don't ever want the fear of anything regarding a date with Irene to come up on you again. Here's 20, buddy. Here's 20. You take that. Man. You'll be all right now on your next date. No matter what happens, you're covered, okay? All right. All right. John, that is yours. I got it out of you. Well, welcome to Crossroads and Calvary. Hope you're enjoying being here as we worship the Lord together. I want to show some pictures to you, and you don't have to guess right away, but I just want you to kind of get a feel for what do these pictures have in common? What do they speak about? All right, so let's just look at them real quick. Here's the first one. Ever felt like that? Some of you, yeah, okay. All right, what's the next one, Joe? Oh, okay. Looks like a little intense moment. How about the next one? Whoa. The sound waves have bent that guy's neck and ear. What's the next one? If you were my husband, I'd poison your coffee. If you were my wife, I'd drink it. I'm not saying that. I'm just quoting it for those of you who have a hard time in the back seeing it. And the next one, his fault, her fault, their fault, but not mine. That's right. Okay, is that all of them? I think it is. Okay, so you don't have to call it out, but what do all of those pictures have in common? Relational fighting, right? They were all mad. Something was going on that was causing a disconnect between those people. Now, folks, if you have ever been in any kind of close and loving relationship, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have fights, disagreements, quarrels, arguments. Libby and I call ours moments of intense fellowship. So we need to know how to fight in ways that don't destroy or damage our relationships. And it's not just husband-wife. You relate to people in many different ways. I'm doing a series called Building Great Relationships. This is the seventh message in that series. I'm going to finish it up the next time I preach in a couple of weeks. Today we're going to look at strengthening relationships through conflict and anger. Now we've been using 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter Paul wrote on love, as a base of these messages. And in 1 Corinthians 13:5, Paul wrote this: love isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It doesn't seek its own advantage, not rude, it's not irritable, doesn't keep a record. All that has to do with challenges that you can have with other people in relationships. And Paul says, love isn't like that. And the folks, when anger and conflict are mishandled, it has potential to cause enormous damage in our life and in the relationships. As a matter of fact, look at Proverbs 11:29. Writer of Proverbs says in this verse, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing left. Eventually, the fighting that is never handled correctly can cause relationships to be damaged so badly that they just fall apart. So today we're going to look at how anger and conflict can actually build a bridge to strengthen relationships. Now, typically when anger comes up or conflict happens, it derails us. It takes the relationship off the peace path. But it doesn't have to. So a question we need to ask ourselves is, when anger hits and conflict happens, is our character consistent? Now, typically in any given room, in this room today, there are two types of people in this room. Some of us, what we do when we get anger, when we get triggered, we explode. We get tense, we lash out, we say things, we dominate, we attack. We're the exploders. Any exploders in here? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to. Yeah, some of us are proud of it. Believe it or not, this preacher is an exploder. I have to be very careful about that. And then there are imploders. These are the people who would rather bury it than deal with it. Better to say nothing, imploders stuff it in. How many of you are imploders? Oh, really, Charles? Here's another 20, buddy. Get some counseling. Oh, my. I didn't come here to get poor, but if it's going to help my brother, I'm okay with it. But the exploder and the imploder, neither of those extremes are healthy. Some of you think, well, that's just who I am. I'm an exploder. My dad was an exploder. His dad was an exploder. My great-grandfather was an exploder or an imploder. And the good news about that is we do learn to be imploders or exploders. We learn it generationally. And if we've learned that behavior about how to respond to conflict and anger, the good news is if we've learned it, we can unlearn it and replace it with something more healthy. So I want to talk about a little peace plan. We're going to use the word peace as an acronym for the points in the message today. So the P for peace, if you have your outlines, you can have them there and fill this out. The P in peace doesn't mean point your finger, right? Jew. The P in peace is to put up a mirror. Put up a mirror. When anger is triggered, when conflict happens, put up a mirror in front of yourself and start looking at what this anger is really about. Why am I angry right now? What triggered me? And beyond just the outward appearance of what triggered me, what's really going on inside of me that made me get this angry about this issue? What caused that? Proverbs 13:10 says, pride leads to arguments. Now, for many of us, we could just stop right here, close in prayer, and go home. This is the issue, pride, ego. We talked about ego a couple of weeks ago. In James 4:1, he writes, do you know where your fights and arguments come from? They come from the selfish desires that war within you. The anger in and of itself is not the real issue. And the mirror helps us see the deeper issue than just the anger. Anger is secondary. It's a secondary emotion. What many of us do is we jump over to the primary emotion and we live at the anger stage. Now, there are three underlying causes of anger. Are there blanks in your outline for these? Fill this in. This is very important. There are three underlying causes of anger: hurt, fear, and frustration. If you're angry, it comes from your being hurt or being fearful or being frustrated or a combination of those. When you put the mirror up and say, what's beneath my anger? You're going to find hurt, fear, frustration. It's like in elementary school when you were introduced to the color wheel. You remember that? I was colorblind, so I didn't. What's the color wheel? What are the three primary colors? And I hope I get this right. Red, right? Blue and yellow. And Tennessee orange. Libby and I were watching some of the women's basketball tournament and the SEC basketball tournament. And last night, Tennessee played Kentucky. Kentucky outscored us just by a few, and they won. And Libby was really sad about that. And I went, aw, because she's a Carolina fan. She doesn't dislike Tennessee. I said, what's wrong, Libby? She said, now I won't be able to see the Gamecocks beat the Volunteers in the final. Oh, my gosh. What's your color, Libby? What is it? Garnet and black. The three primary colors, red, blue, and yellow, all the other colors are made up of these colors. So fear, hurt, and frustration are primary emotions, and many times everything else comes from that. We need to get back down to the level to say, what is it that triggered me for real? What's behind my anger? What's behind the surface? What's below the waterline? Let me give you a couple of examples. Let's say you're a single person, you're dating someone, and this afternoon they break up with you and they give you that famous line, let's just be friends. You know, yesterday you were in love with them, right? And all of a sudden you're angry at this person. Are you really angry? Yes, you are. Why? Because you were hurt very deeply that someone just abandoned you. So you got to get down and say, why? I'm angry. Why? In this case, because you're hurt. So let's say you're on your way to church this morning and you're a punctual kind of person. Maybe you're like me. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. And you're trying to get, but you're, you know, your spouse, your roommate, your best friend who's roommating with you, and you and he and you are deciding we're going to church, and you get ready, but they're not as motivated. And you come to church, and you're ready to get in, and all of a sudden, there's just a little backup of traffic, and you are late to church. And you're angry. Why are you angry? Well, because they wouldn't get ready on time. Yes, but you're frustrated. Right? You are frustrated that they wouldn't do what you think they should have done. Let me give you one more example. Libby and I live on John's Island. I don't know, it was about 4 years ago we moved over to the house we're in now. And there's just a small amount of woods behind us. There's some wetlands behind us. And when we were there, well, I don't even know if we were fully unpacked yet. Maybe we were there a little while. And I noticed a snake crawling across our grass. And I went, oh my gosh, this is not good, because I am deathly have a heart attack afraid of snakes. When I go to the zoo, I don't want to go into the reptile place. Don't want to do it. And so I ran in the house. I said, Libby, there's a snake out here. Come look. She came out and looked at it. She said, oh my God, it's big. I didn't know at the moment. I actually took a picture of it. I texted it to my son, and I said, what kind of snake is this? I need to know now. They said, that is a copperhead, and you need to kill it. They're aggressive, and they will come after you. And it was big. It wasn't like small. It was a big, fat copperhead, long, about as big as they get is what I've learned. And my heart is palpitating. It's racing. I run upstairs. I had shorts on because I was doing yard work. I ran upstairs, put my steel-toe boots on. They came up to here. Came back out there, and I got a shovel off the porch. The problem was it was one of those short plastic beet shovels that you let your kids dig sand with. It's all I had. So Libby decides to help me. There's a 7-foot surf fishing rod on our porch. She gets that thing. So she's behind a screened-in door, and she's going, trying to hit the thing to motivate it to move so I can kill it with my plastic shovel. So the snake decided we weren't much competition. He just slithered right up under my deck. Later in the day, I don't even know what's happening. I'm sure it was in the evening sometime. I'm just standing around minding my own business after that event, and I felt something feel like it just bit where my Achilles tendon was. And my heart just went, and I screamed, and I jumped, and I turned around, and there's Libby on her knees with her little pinchers, pinched my Achilles tendon. And I was angry because I'm afraid of snakes. You didn't really know Libby, did you? She's a good girl. So the way to move towards resolution, way to move towards this journey of peace is to get at the real truth of why you are angry. Now, sometimes the fact is, in the heat of the moment, when you're angry, that's hard to step back and try and figure it out. But sometimes you need to do that before the fight turns into something really bad. Some of you are always blaming your spouse or your friend, your family member. Instead, you need to say, what made me that angry toward my kids in the first place? Maybe you have a friend who you think is flaky. They're always late. Maybe you want to think, you might say, I feel devalued when you're always late. I feel like our relationship isn't important and I'm hurt. I know a lot of parents that are always concerned about their kids, particularly in junior high, in middle school, in high school. They're concerned about particularly the way their kids are dressing, right? Well, what's the real concern? Why are you really angry about that? Because a lot of parents are just more concerned because they're wondering what other people will think of them based on how their kids are dressing. Put up a mirror. Because truth takes a deeper look to know if you're hurt, if you're angry, or if you're frustrated. All right? The E in the word peace. Examine your anger. Examine your anger. Is it healthy? Is it hurtful? Is it hateful? Healthy anger is about injustice. A righteous anger is about injustice. Sometimes one of the greatest ways we can express love is to be angry at a situation. It's okay to get angry at situations and sometimes even people. As long as we're getting angry at people for the same reason God gets angry at people or that God gets angry about situations. There is a healthy anger. There's also a hurtful anger. Hurtful anger is when you are lit up, when something triggers you and you begin to gather ammunition against that person who hurt you. And you want to get back. You want to retaliate. You want to get even. You see that character assassination is within reach. You have snappy sayings that you're ready to use against them, and you're just going to be hurtful to them. That is not a healthy way. That is an unhealthy way to deal with your anger. And then there is a hateful anger. That's when anger just turns absolutely ugly. It's resentment. It consumes you. We see a person and we can't escape turning on them. The Bible makes it very clear that hurtful and hateful anger, once expressed, is outside of God's design for life. Look at Ephesians 4. Paul said, and don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Underline those two words, gain control. If you don't gain control over your anger, it will gain control over you. That's why if you want peace as you go through anger and conflict, you examine it. And then the A in peace. Act slowly. Now, this is where a lot of us get in trouble. We don't act slowly, we act impulsively. We need to ask, what will be accomplished? Who might be wounded if I act quickly instead of slowly? Because the fact is, folks, if you act quickly, you might say some things that you will regret later. Words hurt. Words are powerful. I'll bet everybody in our sanctuary today has been the recipient of a word hurt. And I'll bet you can even still remember some specific examples, probably all the way back to when you were a child or a teenager. Words can hurt. The bruise is slow to go away. Let's say that when you want to say something bad to your brother, sister, friend, enemy, and so you go out into your garage or out back, you get a piece of wood and you get a nail, and you just hammer that nail into that wood. And that represents what you're going to say. It represents maybe what you did say. And so after a while, the fight begins to calm down. You say you're sorry, and it's genuine and sincere, and they say they're sorry. You go back out to that same piece of wood, and you want to take that nail out now because it's done, it's over. And you take the nail out. Has that piece of wood still been damaged? Absolutely. You'll see the nail there. Maybe even the nail cracked the wood. You can't fix that. It's there. That's why we need to be very careful to act slowly so we don't say things to hurt people. Say, well, what if I have something on the tip of my tongue and I really want to say it? I know people that think, well, I just have a little piece of truth in my, it's truth from my perspective, and I just need to, what they really want to do, they just want to vomit it out over everybody. That is not what the Bible says at all. If you're going to do that, do it, but don't blame God for it. All right? Look at Proverbs 17. Even fools are thought to be wise when they're silent. When they keep their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Sometimes the best thing you can do in a fight is just to shut up, just to hold it in. Am I not supposed to express my emotions? Yeah, when they calm down, if you need to yell at someone, just go out to a tree and just have at it. But you need to be very careful that you act slowly. Proverbs 29 says, a fool gives full vent to anger, but a wise person quietly holds it back. And Proverbs 13, wise people think before they act. Underline two words there, think before. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't think before they act, and they brag about it. Act slowly. All right? The C for peace. You need to consider their condition. Consider their condition. When somebody snaps with an inappropriate response, it ought to tell you that there's something going on with them beneath the surface. Be wise enough and spiritually mature enough to ask the question, what's going on in their world? Get rid of your immediate anger and just ask, in this person's life right now, there's fear. Is it hurt? Maybe it's frustration. What's going on in their life? It doesn't excuse them if they're just unloading on you. They're still wrong in that way. But just take a minute to understand. You know how quickly you can diffuse a fight and an argument and a conflict? Just listen and then just use a few words to come back. Wow, you must be very frustrated. Man, I'm sorry. You sound like you've really been hurt. And you are just going to diffuse all of the anger they feel for a moment, for enough time for them to go, wow, I was expecting them to shout back. And they seem real concerned about me. You can stop a whole lot of arguments by doing this simple little thing. Are they frustrated? Are they in fear? Are they hurt? Now, typically, when the fight starts and it gets strong, we put up defensive walls, right? They just go up to protect ourselves. I understand that. But we also need to think about the other person. Philippians chapter 2, Paul said this, "Don't be selfish. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too. Your attitude should be the same that Jesus Christ had." Now, when you read that, if you're honest, that's kind of tough. That's challenging. Matter of fact, it's not tough, it's impossible. In our own strength, that's impossible to do. It's impossible to not be selfish without the attitude of Jesus Christ, without God's help. That's why we need to spend time with God every day. We need to fellowship with Him, whether we're in a church for worship or a Bible study, even during other parts of your day. It doesn't matter to me what you're doing. You need to maintain a sense of fellowship with God. You need to ask God, God, would you give me eyes to see that person the way you see them? Give me ears to hear what they're saying the way you hear them. Give me discernment to see below the anger. What is it, God? Help me to understand it. Consider their condition. What's really happening? And then the E in peace. Embrace God's plan for peace. Embrace God's plan for peace. Because God does have a plan for peace. That's why He's left us with His Word to give us direction. Now, I've put a couple of bullet points here for you to consider. God's plan for peace includes, first of all, that you pray. I know it seems simple, and yet what we typically do is we don't talk to God about people. We talk to people about people, right? Hey, come here, I got something I need to unload. We need to make sure we talk to God first about people. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, and if you want to know what God wants you to ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. He will not resent your asking. When we have a problem, we can ask God to help us solve it, and God will let us know. Pray. I think I've said before, sometimes just to remind myself that I need to keep an open line to God is when I pray, I won't say amen. I just keep it open. Now I'm saying, Kevin, that's so silly. Because we know we always have an open line. I know, that's why I just said it's symbolic for me. But it reminds me, I didn't close off my prayer, God's still there. Does that make sense? You should try it. If you're a saying amen person at the end of your prayer, which most all of us are, just don't one day. It'll get your attention. And you'll be thinking, man, this thing Kevin said, yeah, I know God's there. So you pray. You ask God. Secondly, maybe a little bit harder, you apologize. Oh. You apologize. Two of the most powerful words in the English language are, could you guess? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They can change a conflict. For some of us, they're hard words to say at times. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. In Proverbs chapter 28, the Bible says, anyone who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. How many of you would like another chance? We need to admit our mistakes. We need to admit when we are wrong. It's not always easy to say that you're sorry, especially if they have done something wrong too. Then it's a matter of who's going to say I'm sorry first, right? You remember the show Happy Days a while ago? And one of the things that the Fonz couldn't say, three words. Do you remember? I was wrong. He couldn't get it out. I was wrong. Go back and watch the episodes. I'm not making this up. He could not say, I was wrong. Couldn't. Don't be like Fonz. Well, for all our kind of reasons, too, but. I want to say, hey, but I won't do it. I won't do it. And so you pray, you apologize, and you forgive. This is the big one. This is a tough one. This wipes some people out. Go ahead and admit the injustice. Some of you have been gravely hurt in some different relationships, yet we must forgive. Colossians 3:13. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. For some of you, you hear that and say, that's impossible. That's impossible. You've been wounded to the core, deeply to the core. Some people say, I can't forgive. You don't know how much I've been hurt. I cannot forgive. One of the things that motivates me to forgive people is to realize that God, I'm never going to have to forgive somebody else more than God has already forgiven me. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's something about our forgiveness and being connected to God's forgiveness for us. Doesn't mean you have to earn it. You know, you're not going to lose your salvation. But we need to forgive. God forgave us. Some people have a hard time because they misunderstand forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean you forgive that person or those people and then you become best friends with them again. Sometimes you forgive someone and you need to let them go. You don't need to stay hooked up with them. You don't need to continue to try and relate with them. They're toxic. Maybe they just drag you down this road one too many times and I genuinely forgive you. I'm not going to rehearse this in my mind anymore. I'm not going to bring this up anymore. I'm letting it go. I forgive you. But I don't want to relate to you anymore. That, yes, that's good. That's biblical. That's godly. There's nothing wrong with that. So don't think just because you forgive somebody, I know, if you forgive me, we can just be best friends again. No, maybe not. If I was younger and we had kids and I had a babysitter come over and they were babysitting our kids, and I came back and I found out that they didn't feed them, they let them go out and play when they weren't supposed to, they didn't get them in bed, and this and that, they had a boyfriend or a girlfriend come over and all of that. Well, I'd be angry, and they would know that I'm angry. Remember, I'm an exploder. And I'd pay them for that night, and I would tell them, here's what I think you did wrong, and I didn't appreciate it. But I would never hire them again. I would forgive them, but I wouldn't hire them. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's the same way in relationships. You must forgive. Romans chapter 5 says this: when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, making us friends of God. The process of reconciliation is something that God has done. He's done everything in that process. All we have to do is say yes. We shouldn't be afraid to admit that we need Jesus Christ in our lives, because Jesus helps us attack the problems of anger and conflict. He can attack our hurts, our frustrations, our fears. There are probably some of us here today who have been wounded terribly. Maybe some who've been rejected, some who've been abused or have been left to feel unwanted and unloved. I want to ask you if you will simply let God replace your pain and allow him to bring healing to your hurt. Look in Philippians 4. Paul said, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God's peace is so incredible that you can't even understand it. We need to allow God to use that conflict and anger we have in relationships to grow the relationship. And if the other person simply says, I'm not on board anymore, then fine. Let God heal you, and you press on. You move on to whatever else it is that God wants for your life. All right? Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are desperately, deeply concerned about the issues of conflict and anger in relationships. We all have had them. We may have them now, and we're going to have some in the future. So we want to turn first and foremost to you, and we want you to remind us, according to your word, things that we've learned today, so we can implement some of those things, so we can understand better and maybe even present ourselves so we can be understood better. So healing will come to the hurt and pain we've experienced. Now, God, we realize all of this comes from you, and we ask you to continue to change our lives, continue to mold us and make us into the person you want us to be from the inside out. Father, during this response time, I pray that we would take an opportunity to prayerfully consider how you're speaking to us and to respond to that. We ask these things through your Son, Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
All right. Thank you for being here today. Great time of worship. Charles, can you come here, buddy? I need my
money.
I need Libby's 20 back. This is my lunch money for next week. All right. You had that packed away. You really thought I was giving that to you? You claimed it. All right. Let's pray together, okay? Father, it's been a good time here to be in your house and to fellowship with folks, to enjoy our time of worship, to sing your praises, and to be taught from your word. Holy Spirit, use all of these things to fill us, to change us, to continue to walk the path of peace and relationship with others around us. We love you and we thank you so much that you love us. Dismiss us in your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said what?
Amen.
Amen.